Hi, Coastie fam. Amy here. Welcome to The Activity Continues, a podcast where three soul friends talk about all things paranormal. Ghosts, hauntings, psychics, movies and TV shows, especially The Dead Files, and other spooky and spooky adjacent things as well. We also like to interview people in the paranormal community, as well as past Dead Files clients and other interesting people. Sometimes we even tell your stories. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us again, everybody. Today we are talking to Diane and Kelly from the podcast History Goes Bump, Ghost Tours for the Mind. This show explores the haunted history of locations, people, and events. Each episode features a moment in oddity and this month in history segment. Join them for chills, and you might even learn something. They were kind enough to have us on their show a few weeks ago, and we had such a good time, we decided to reciprocate and host them on our podcast. So this time, we are hoping to hear their ghost stories. AP, what are we warning the people about today?
Frankly, we have no idea what we might talk about today. I do know there will probably be a little less swearing.
I'm going to try and rein myself in.
I think we did a good job on their podcast.
We did.
Because their podcast is very family friendly.
Yeah, they have a lot of kids that listen.
Yeah, they do have a lot of kids. So if you're looking for one for your kiddos, that would be a good one to start with because they don't have any of the swears that we have here.
That's right.
And if you're someone who doesn't care if your kids hear swearing, because I grew up in a household with that and it's just fine. Come join us on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
If you want to make sure to check out our show notes just for any other content warnings in case something comes up or a story comes up that deals with something that is a more sensitive topic, that's where you'll find it.
Yep.
Hi, friends. Yeah, we did have a little bit of a content warning, things we ended up talking about that we weren't sure we were going to when we started the episode. So Diane and Kelly told some ghost stories that did involve child death and animal death, a dog, and a unhoused person's death. So that's your warning for those if you need that. It's nothing graphic, but still can be disturbing or unsettling.
Oh, I was going to say I didn't have any housekeeping, but just before we signed on today, I got an email. We got a new patron.
What?
Her name is Courtney.
Love it.
And she joined on the 7-day free trial, which is new. So I do want to mention that not by the time this comes out, it won't exactly be new because it's new now. But it means that somebody can just try it for a week and see if they like the kind of extras and stuff that we give. So hopefully she will stay on, even if it's only, you know, at the dollar or whatever.
Yeah.
So yes, so welcome to Courtney, and I will do an official welcome online and everything. But
Courtney.
Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, Diane's here, Diane and Kelly. Right. So should we just start?
Let's bring them right in.
Let's bring them in.
Let's get this party
started. Bring them out.
As Kesha says, the party doesn't start till I walk in, except she uses less grammatically correct sentence structure than that.
hating on Kesha.
Oh, I don't. I love Kesha. I love her. But she is not grammatically correct with her songs. Hello.
Hey, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Welcome. The Monster Club t-shirt. I'm looking at Diane's t-shirt. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That's so cute.
It was a really cool restaurant in Omaha, and they closed.
It's a restaurant?
Year.
Oh.
It was so
dang
cool.
It.
They had all kinds of horror. You know, it's like horror decorations.
Yeah,
fine.
Movie memorabilia and
full size dummies. It was really cool, and they even played.
My name's
like
Megan.
The
I was going to say
way,
they got full size.
My name's Megan.
This.
Thanks.
Here's your full size dummies.
I'm right here, Kelly. I'm right here.
Sorry, Megan.
I hear you.
I was totally addressing you. You know it. Dang it.
My earbuds. Can you at least wait till they're out?
That the mic was on. Hot mic.
I don't recognize Megan without a cat climbing up the stairs behind her.
I know. We managed to corral everything living upstairs except for me.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I,
I have some dogs in here, but I think they'll be good.
Even all your spiders?
You know what? Stop, because the other day I was working and I saw a huge spider like crawling on the wall, and it took everything in me to not kill it, but I didn't.
Did you know I learned a fun fact about spiders?
Is it fun or is it just a fact that's attached to spiders? Which one is it?
I think it's a fun fact.
Okay.
I saw it on Instagram reel, but it's a lot of spider scientists have talked about when you capture a spider and take it to go put it outside, you're going to actually kill it. They don't know how to survive outside.
What?
So luckily, I don't do that.
Spiders are inside for a reason. Inside?
No. So I'm not supposed to put them outside? Am I supposed to squish
them?
I saw that, yeah.
You're just supposed to let them go unless you, I mean, you're going to kill them either way if you put them outside, apparently.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
no, I didn't either.
They had research that was actually tied along with it, and different scientists that have talked about it, just because there's a variation they've adapted to live inside or something like that. I don't know. It was just kind of...
Well, so have I.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, if you put me outside, I will die. So yeah. I get it, spiders.
Like, I'm good.
I feel you.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad. I don't get a lot in the house, but...
I try not to go anywhere near them. So if you think I'm putting a cup and a piece of paper under it, you are out of your mind to move it outside.
Just bring a lizard in the house. It'll catch it for you.
There you go.
It's true. I like that.
There you go.
Listen, there's solutions to everything.
There is.
Amen.
Well, welcome, ladies. We're excited you're back.
Yeah.
Or to have you on.
Yeah, to have you on. I mean, back with us. We're on the same recording.
We're happy as well.
Good. We had such a fun time on your show. So I'm really happy we could do this.
I texted the girls after we got off the episode, and I was like, I hope that all our guests feel the way I feel right now, because I was like on cloud nine the rest of the night, because it was just so much fun chatting with you. So
that's good.
Yes.
Likewise.
We had a great time too.
Good.
Yeah.
But I know that the first thing that you guys ask all the time is about how your guests got into the paranormal, or what sparked that or whatnot. So we definitely want to hear that from you.
You want to go first?
I guess I'll lead. Well, I always was interested in the various shows. I used to watch with my sons actually quite a bit when the first ghost hunting shows first started out. Couldn't wait to watch the next episode. Now you can just binge everything at once, mm-hmm. which is a lot of fun. Those of us of a certain age didn't get to do that back when. didn't really have the opportunity to investigate or anything like that until moving here to Florida. And we just kind of hit the ground running, or I did at least. And here we are today.
Well, for me, it goes back to being a kid. I was one of those weird kids. I was always into weird stuff, horror movies. One of the first movies I ever saw was Dracula from back 1931, you know. So I just, you know, I wasn't afraid. I would just absolutely fell in love with the whole thing. And as I was growing up, I watched In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. And of course, Unsolved Mysteries and Sightings and all that good stuff. And I have to say, my mom really instilled a lot of that, because she would watch a lot of that stuff too. And then when we would go places, she would always be like, let's go check out the cemeteries. So then I got a real appreciation from cemeteries from her. And so I was never afraid of cemeteries, or I've never thought of them as creepy. I've always thought that they're really cool and all that stuff. My first experience, though, that really made me go, what is this when it comes to ghosts, is I was 16 and my folks believed that my sister and I were responsible, and we generally were. So they would go on trips every so often and leave us home for the weekend.
I've heard stories. No, they aren't. No, they weren't.
Ooh, Kelly's outing you.
This particular weekend, we just decided to stay home and watch horror movies. So we were watching movies, and my sister was on one side of the family room and I was on the other. All the lights are out, of course. And the way our house was set up is that there was like kind of a half wall between the family room, and then there was like a dining area, and then the kitchen. It was like one big open space kind of thing, like houses are nowadays, but it wasn't really the thing back then. So it had this half wall there.
Pony wall.
Yeah. And I'm sitting in a chair next to it, and we're watching the movie, and I hear this dog padding across the linoleum in the dining room. We didn't have a dog. So I'm like, what am I hearing? And I look over at my sister, and she's looking at me. She's a year younger, and her mouth is like wide open. And she's like, looking at me. And I'm like, did you just hear that? And she kind of nodded her head. And I'm like, was it a dog walking across the floor in the kitchen? Yeah, she's nodding her head again. It must have been hilarious to watch this from, you know, up above, because I stood up very, very slowly so that I could look over that half wall to see what is in the kitchen. Of course, there was nothing there. But the crazy thing is, not only did we not own a dog at that time, we never had a dog. And this was a brand new house that my parents had built. So nobody had like lived in this house before. So I don't know where that came from. I don't know if it was just something that was passing through, if it was something that a 16 and 15 year old girl, you know, manifested.
Because you wanted a dog.
Yeah.
But because it was something that we both shared, I knew that I didn't just hear that, that this is something that legitimately happened. And I was like, what was that? And then that same October for Halloween, my mom says, I know what I want us to do for Halloween. We're going to go do some haunted houses. And I'm thinking haunted house attractions, which my mom definitely was not into. And I'm like, I can't believe my mom would want to go do haunted houses for Halloween. But okay, I'm game. And this is what got me started in looking at haunted locations that supposedly have ghosts connected to them, because it turned out we were going to downtown Denver to a bunch of the historic Victorian mansions down there. And we were going from each one and hearing the ghost stories that went with each one. And I was like, that is the coolest thing I've ever done. And we went into one of them that was called the Croke Patterson Mansion, incredibly haunted location. It's a bed and breakfast now. And there was this area when you would go down in the basement, there was a, like a cutout in the wall. And then you could stick your head in there, and there was like what would have been a hidden room, I guess. And the story goes that there was a woman, the baby had died in the house. They weren't sure if it had died from natural causes. Did she help move it along? But the baby was walled up in this room.
Oh, my God.
And this is where some of the haunting was coming from. And I remember sticking my head into that hole. And, you know, you get that feeling where the hair sticks up on the back of your neck. I was out of that house in like 2 seconds because I didn't know what that feeling was, but I was out of there. I was in the van and my mom comes out. She's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm not going back in that house. No way. Of course, now I run into haunted locations and I love it. But at the time I was like, what was that?
Looking for another spot to stick your head into to be like, I got to see what it is.
I want to have that feeling again.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's cool.
That is very interesting, though, the spot that had potentially a baby that was walled up inside, because you hear that in, you know, Europe and other areas about nuns or priests or other people that they just decide, like, you did something that was bad enough, you are now walled into this section, which would be a horrible way to die.
Oh, God.
The only thing I could think of is it was the baby was already deceased and she was trying to hide the.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, let's go with that.
So, Diane, how did you and Kelly meet?
Through the podcast.
Yep.
Oh.
I had actually started the podcast about 10 years ago, and Kelly was a listener. And nice. It kind of went from there.
Yeah.
Let me just say so that. Cool.
Changed our respective lives drastically.
It did. My original co-host was my ex-wife. So, we'll just say that a divorce took place and then Kelly moved here. And after I did the show solo for about a year, and then I asked Kelly if she would like to join me, because as you guys know, doing a show all by yourself, it's just better if you have somebody else to play off of, or feed off of. And it was when Kelly joined that we actually started doing investigations as well. Because my ex-wife was like, we cannot tempt spirits. We don't do any of that kind of stuff. Mm. So I would like be making videos when we're in forts and stuff. And I'd be like, is anybody in here? And she'd be like, don't do that.
So what I heard you say is there's hope yet. Single men, that don't suck?
They're going to be listening and they're going to say, that AP has a really neat personality. I think I'm going to email her and let her know.
I'm a lot for a lot of people.
You're not
it's
a
fine,
lot.
I know it.
You're just your own person and you're not going to settle for any BS.
Oh, yeah.
And that's every what scares person, people, men away, because they're like, I can't BS with her.
Every person has their it. Person.
Yeah.
I have no yes, doubt about it.
Definitely. Yep.
I've got great dogs, at least. So that does take over a lot of.
Well, enjoy. Dogs are better than people all the time.
Yeah.
So. Absolutely.
Or cats and cats.
Oh, sorry. And cats.
I'll say cats she's if allergic. I'm forced to, but.
But it's really dogs. No, cats are good too. They're just different. They're really different.
Yeah.
They are.
I can see how some people like prefer one over the other. I like them all.
I like but... other people's dogs. I just don't want my own dog.
Well, that's how I feel about children.
It's fair.
There you go.
That's fair. Yeah, that's a fair consensus. So,
funny story talking about children. I always said I want to have a kid to about the age of two, then send them away, and then they can come back when they're 18 and already raised.
Oh.
Well, when I met Kelly, she already had two sons that were 15 and
grown,
18 or
a little bit older.
Yeah. So it worked out perfectly for me. I didn't even have to take care of changing diapers.
Perfect.
Nice.
One of them actually just left last week.
Yeah.
They were out here for a visit.
Oh fun.
Yeah. Where did they leave to? Do they live
back
in
to
this...
California?
Ah,
yeah.
So you're Kelly. You're from California.
Yes, 45-year native, and I've been here since then. And I won't tell you my age.
Okay, I won't ask.
35? 36.
Yes. I'm sorry. I called you a dummy. No, I'm just kidding. I did not.
So you
call
admit
you a
it.
Dummy,
so
Megan.
No, I got it, Kelly. I'm just teasing.
So my first haunted experience was actually something before I moved here. I don't know how many greats in front of my grandfather's name, but way, 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 way back in the day, he was a lawyer. And, you know, that was back at the time where you would trade goods or, you know, et cetera for services. So there was an artist that couldn't afford to pay his bill. So he created this oil painting. It's actually quite beautiful. But from the time I was a child, when my parents took it over, it always creeped me out. As an adult, my parents asked me if I wanted it. So I said, okay, even though it had creeped me out for so many years. When I installed it in my home in California, there were a couple of different times in the evening when I was watching television, you know, doing laundry, as you do with a family of four. And I kept getting like this shadow that looked like it was running up the stairs because I had a clear view of our staircase. And it happened several times. And it wasn't until I started thinking about the fact that the painting was now above my head when I was seeing these shadows move up the stairs. And it was always up, never down. But my parents ended up asking for the painting back. Once I returned that painting to them, never saw the shadows again.
Oh, really. My God.
What was in the painting?
It was a shepherd and some cows, and it was a forest of dark trees. The painting itself looked very, very dark unless you had a bright light on it. And like I said, from the time I was a child, always creeped me out. If I had to pass that painting to get to the restroom in the middle of the night, I would always run.
Wow.
And I didn't put two and two together until after it was gone, and I never had that experience again. My dad still has the painting.
Maybe it was a cow, because you can lead the cows upstairs, but you can't lead them back down, right?
Yeah. Can't lead them to water.
Ghost cows.
Yeah. If it was an animal thing, I don't think I would have been fazed by it.
Well, and we should probably throw out there that Kelly is what we would say kind of sensitive when it comes to the supernatural. So she picks up on things and I'm wondering if you weren't picking up on something.
Well, sounds perhaps. Like you were. Yeah.
It sounds like it was a haunted painting.
It was definitely. Yeah. It was definitely related to the painting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have your parents ever had any experiences with it or while it was in their house?
Not that they've ever shared with me.
Okay.
So. Hmm.
Interesting.
Although they did try to get rid of it a secondary time, but they never shared. They just that they were trying to sell it. So they were reaching out to Christie's auction house.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But my dad still has it to this day. So
there's all sorts of things going on in my mind. I'm like, was it a painting that was painted over? So there's some other story that's underneath, especially with you saying it's so dark and
it's very, very thick. It was coated with paper. They tried to carefully remove it to check the backing on it. There was a whole fandango with that. So I never had a clear answer.
Oh, I'm so curious.
Yeah.
That is so fun, to be honest. Like just the whole story of the painting and all
you
that
can
sort
have
of
the
stuff.
Painting.
I am one of those that will sit there and be like, okay, what is this? Hyper fixate on something occasionally and just try and figure out what an answer is.
Have you had any experiences recently?
Not surrounding that. Probably.
No, but just in general, like in general.
We had a little bit of interaction at a hotel. What was it called?
The Artisan.
Yeah,
it's
the Artisan.
The Land here in Central
Boutique
Florida.
Hotel. So we did a little bit of investigating. It was really interesting, though, because there was a band that started playing downstairs. Initially, we were getting good interactions. And then
this would have been in the early afternoon. So it was about, we checked in around 3 and we started investigating. So it was probably about 4 because we did it before we went to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And we do the little flashlight experiment, you know, where you turn it on and then slightly turn it off and set it up. And we actually did it differently than we normally do. Usually we set it down on a table so it's kind of facing us. But we'd seen another friend of ours who does investigating and does videos on Instagram all the time. And we noticed that she would leave it so that it was just kind of balancing on the ground with it going up. So we're like, well, let's try it this time that way. And we got it to turn on a few times that was not like, oh, that was probably by chance. It was in response. And we would ask it to turn it off and it would kind of flick it down and turn it off. So we're like,
wow,
we're getting a little bit of responses here. We couldn't quite tell who we were talking to. And we did a little bit of an Esta session. And the thing that made it difficult is the clearest voices. And for your listeners who don't know what the Estes method is, it's when you have a spirit box and you put noise canceling headphones on to the person who's listening to the spirit box so that they can't hear anything but the spirit box. And then you have another person asking questions. And then the person listening through the headphones yells out whatever they hear coming through the spirit box.
Because the spirit box is in real time, correct?
Yes. And so I'm hearing a lot of this same male voice that's speaking Spanish. Mm. I took some Spanish in school, but it was a long time ago. So I was like, I'm not quite sure what they're saying. So I would kind of try to repeat what I was hearing, even though we didn't know it was being said. We needed to listen back to it and then translate some of it to get a feeling for what was being said. But we definitely had somebody who was speaking Spanish and it was like an older male. So we're not sure if that's, and we don't know anything about the history of the hotel. So we were going to look into that too. We kind of went into this one blind, not really knowing a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. That's probably good sometimes.
That is
to
good.
Not know.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're not skewed, even subconsciously. So,
and then we came back from dinner.
Oh yeah, and sorry, what?
Yes, Kelly, you're up.
Kelly's like, hey, and
hit it, Kelly.
Hit it, Kelly.
So yes, we came back from dinner. The band started playing because they have a lounge there, and it was getting really raucous. Mm-hmm. And so we had a little bit of interactions with the dowsing rods and so forth, but then all of a sudden it just like died out. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even that late, but it was just gone. And we kept feeling like, I think they're finding more entertaining things to do. They're bored with us.
They wanted to go party.
So
yeah. We'd be boring in the room.
We did get boring.
We did. We did get boring to come through. So.
What's nice about our spirit box?
Oh, that's rude.
Yeah, we're boring. Whatever.
Dang, ghosts. Come on.
We're a couple of 50-year-old women. What do you think we're going to be doing?
Exactly. It was almost our bedtime anyway.
Yeah. That's fair.
Exactly.
Like 8:30.
But yeah. Totally. Yeah, it's about, it's 8:32.
I mean, you're cutting into our bedtime right now.
I know. It's okay if you get a little punchy. We understand.
It happens even if we're past or before our bedtime.
Yeah.
But our spirit box actually can record. And then we also have our digital recorder going as well. Is it a Zoom? A little Zoom that we have. And so we can pinpoint, we start recording and playing them back at the same time. So when we pull it up on the computer to review it, it's nice because you can kind of pinpoint what it was answering, mm-hmm. if it does relate at all. So cool. Because you're in the moment.
Yeah.
At least for me, because I'm usually the one asking the questions while she's doing the Estes. You're constantly trying to think of something new and different to ask. Mm-hmm. And you can get to a point sometimes where it's like, okay, I'm not wanting to ask the same old, same old. And then she's yelling stuff out.
Like boring. So,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's like, again, sorry, rude.
hard to carry on a conversation when the other side is just not helping.
Right. And especially exactly. Literally telling you like you're boring. Step it up or I'm out of here.
Or speaking in Spanish.
And or speaking in Spanish. Yeah. Tricky.
Well, Diane, I have a question for you that kind of goes back to, you said you started the podcast about 10 years ago. What drove you to start your podcast?
Anytime I would go to a new city I'd not been to, and my mom got me started in this as well, I would always look for the ghost tours because you get the history plus the seedy side. So I was like, I want to get the history for sure, but I also like all that other stuff that they throw in there. So I always would do that. And I actually had done a live internet show starting back in 2009. It was political and I got tired of the political and it's so divisive and everything to do politics. So I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. But I'd always wanted to be on the radio since I was a kid. So I got the itch again in 2014. And I was like, you know, the other one I was doing was a live internet show where I had to be there three nights a week. Mm-hmm. And it got to be a pain too, doing that. And I was like, but you know, this podcasting thing, because my show would end up being a podcast later, they would upload it automatically for me. But I was like, you know, a podcast, you can just record when you want to and put it up when you want to. So I was like, that would work a lot easier. Now, what would I do it on? And I'd been listening to a lot of different podcasts and stuff. And I'm like, you know, there's really nothing out there that's like a ghost tour. There was Jim Harold was doing the paranormal podcast, talking about a lot of paranormal topics and stuff. But there was nothing that was like, you know, here's a location, here's the history, and then here's the ghost stories that go with it. And I was like, you know, why don't I do it? Since I couldn't find one that did that kind of thing. And so that's what got me started in it. So I already had a little bit of knowledge about how to, you know, recording and setting stuff up. Although I didn't really know that much about audio editing and stuff, because it would just automatically record and put everything up for me. So I didn't know how to do all that kind of stuff. So I learned as I went. And of course, I put a little thing at the very beginning of the very first episode now that tells people, I would hope most people know way back in the day, a lot of us didn't know what we were doing. The audio sucked. So, you know, give it a chance, and it does get better as you go along. So I always tell people, you know, start at the beginning and work your way through, but also listen to the most recent episodes too, so you know where we end up at and arrive. And I like to welcome people into our Facebook group and stuff, so I'm like, then you'll hear us welcoming you and everything like that. So that's what got me started in it. I was just looking for a podcast that had my kind of thing going, and when it wasn't there, I just created it. And
that's perfect. I love that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I love that, especially, you know, I really connect with the going to different areas and going on those little ghost tours and that sort of stuff. There's just, it's not always about like the actual ghost aspect, but the unique history that you don't get anywhere else. Mm-hmm. I'm headed to Salt Lake in a month from now that I've been researching some, like, what are some ghost tours that are out there, just so that I can do a little walking ghost tour. Now, if we can get a walking ghost and food tour.
Mm-hmm. M from And That's Why We Drink, they were just out there and they found a bunch of like different soda shops,
mm-hmm.
because it's, you know, drinking's not really a thing there. So they went to a bunch of different like soda bars.
Yeah, I guess they wouldn't really do pub crawls. I don't.
Oh, no, those are there. I found some.
Okay.
I looked.
You know, there are a couple of places, and I literally, it's funny that you said that, because I literally looked one up today. And I'm trying to think of where I was looking at it, but
a soda shop or a ghost tour? Or
it was a food
crawl.
One. And it was, you would go probably around to, it was like bakeries, and you would go to each of the bakeries, and they would be telling you, you know, different ghost stories, and you'd get some kind of a.
Now that's a ghost tour I could go on.
I don't know if it was all sweets, but it also was like snacky type stuff or whatever.
Oh, that sounds perfect.
Diane's all about the pastries.
Give me chocolate frosting and I will.
That is one of the things that I say when people are like, what should I do when I go overseas or on a trip or something? Like, look for your ghost tour and look for a food tour, because you get a whole different array. You end up going to a spot in the town or in the city that you never would have gone down because you didn't know you should go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there was one in New Orleans that was an architectural tour.
Ooh,
oh, cool.
And I was like, wow, I really want to try that sometime because I love architecture too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That would be really neat.
And there's plenty of ghosts in New Orleans.
There's a house in Wisconsin. Oh my god, I totally forget. I'm gonna.
There's a few houses in Wisconsin.
There's at least three.
Do people live there?
Some people.
I've
live
heard
there.
Tell. Yes.
There's. Oh my god. I need to find it.
Are you thinking of Glen Sheen?
No.
That's not Wisconsin. No, that's Minnesota. But
there's a house and a house on.
Is it on a hill?
Do the hill have eyes?
You guys are really mean to me tonight.
There is one called the House on the Hill. House on the Rock. That's it.
Yes. And so there's a really interesting room in it, and it comes to a point over and it overhangs this cliff. And so you can walk out in it, and it's terrifying because the floor is glass. So you can see yourself walking out, and it narrows. It narrows. So as you're going out, and like as everybody's doing it, you just see them like walking, like hunched over, like that's really going to do anything if the floor falls. So I went to it, and it's a really beautiful house. But yeah, that was
terrifying. Where is it located?
It's in Wisconsin.
We already went over this, AP.
We went over it, Amy. It's Spring Green, Wisconsin.
I have heard of that. Yeah, that would not be for me in that part anyway.
It was terrifying. It was really scary.
Any day. No. Over falling off a cliff. Yeah.
And the scariest thing is like it's literally like it goes out over the cliff. So
it's a cantilever?
I don't know what that means.
So there's nothing below you?
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. It was scary.
Hard pass.
Yeah, no thank you.
We'll do roller coasters, but we won't do that.
Yep. Yeah. How about bridges? How do you feel about bridges?
Oh no,
not a fan. Yeah.
And now no, really no.
No.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. After Maryland's snow. Yeah. I already have a hard enough time. Where were we going? We were driving. It was in the middle of the country. Was it Missouri or something? It was the highest land bridge I've ever been on in my life. And it just kept going up, and it was really steep. And I was like, okay, I'm not looking to either side.
Was it the one over to Mackinac Island?
No.
In Missouri?
Was it on the way to Alton? Wisconsin.
It might have been. But
Haunted
it was,
America?
Yeah, Conference? It was terrifying. Mm. It was the tallest bridge I've ever been on for that kind of a thing. Like, I've been on the Royal Gorge Bridge.
The Coronado Bridge in San Diego is terrifying to be on. No thanks.
It's pretty high.
It's ridiculously high.
Yeah. And you're dealing with earthquake faults and everything down there. So
yeah, no.
There is a big potential earthquake eventually happening in along the
San Andreas.
In St. Louis. There is a fault.
New Madrid.
There. Mm-hmm, the New Madrid fault line. And
I think after the eclipse, that's going to be it. That's why X marks the spot.
So
there.
When I was teaching science, so in 1812, it made the Mississippi flow in the reverse direction because it shifted the land so far.
Oh my God.
And when that went. And so when they were doing an archaeological look at it and seeing all the different spits of sand that come through from earthquakes, they were predicting that in about 200 years or about 200 years from the last one would be the next one, which would be, any day now.
Oh no.
Yeah, when I looked to see where the X marks the spot with that solar eclipse and the one that was in 2017, I was like, the New Madrid fault is literally right there. Mm-hmm. Like you couldn't mark it any more prominently. Oh, so
that's
hope
scary.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yikes.
Yeah, hope not.
I saw a TikTok where a woman was saying that all these tornadoes and stuff were going to happen in the next couple days. Like she was showing like in Oklahoma and I don't remember where else, but she was showing like a line on a map.
My friend in Missouri was on a it still is under a tornado watch, but she gets those a lot. Until 11 p.m. tonight.
Oh my goodness. Our time or your time? What's
central? They're central.
Okay, so they're our time.
Yep. But I won't go into the science part. You guys don't want to hear it. It's just, it's fun. It's just like your warm air masses, they move slowly, but they bring in a lot of moisture because the higher the temperature, the more moisture it can hold. And you got the cold temperatures that move really fast. That's why Tornado Alley is kind of where it's at in the country, is because
come together and go boom.
And it actually, they literally like tango in the sky and roll over. That's so a really, really simple.
And this is why I live where the wind hurts my face.
Give me an earthquake any day.
Really? Have you been in an earthquake?
Well, she was in California, dear. Yeah.
Okay, but that doesn't mean anything because I lived in California and I was not in an earthquake.
Well, I was at the epicenter of the Landers quake, which was, I think, a 7.1.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was kind of scary because we didn't know where the epicenter was. We were camping. So
holy crap.
And that was before, well, no, we had cell phones, but not out there. There was no reception. But yeah, it took a little bit of time before we found out where the epicenter was, because the scariest part of that, we were in the middle of nowhere, was how are our families? Are our parents okay? Yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Would it be safer or more dangerous to be out in nature when an earthquake hits versus in a building with like a structure, like going in the door frame?
Yeah, we were in the desert, so there was nothing to fall. Yeah. So it depends upon when you say out in nature, where in nature.
As long as the ground doesn't split wide open. And
that's exactly
you.
What I was thinking. Yeah, so I always picture that, and then everybody falls right in.
Yeah.
Well, the roads did that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
The asphalt.
Yeah, because you got the strike slip faults that are over in that area.
No, thank you.
Transform boundary.
Mm-mm. Well, and then here in Florida, we have sinkholes that just open up out of nowhere.
Swallow your house.
Just swallow people up.
Yep.
That's terrifying too. Nature is so scary.
We literally, 5 minutes from this house, there is a resort and one whole tower went into a sinkhole about 7 years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
What?
Yeah, it was just right into it. Nobody died. Thank God.
Thank God.
They got out because they could hear it like creaking and cracking and they were like, let's get out of there. But yeah, just took the whole thing.
Holy
Might
God.
I add that she told me about that after I moved here.
Well, she's not going to tell you about it before.
Why would she tell you before?
She doesn't want to scare you away from the beauty of Florida.
That's right.
What's a few sinkholes? Honestly.
Since we're talking about all of our favorite weather moments, apparently, and what are some of your favorite moments of your show or favorite episodes? And I know you can't say you have a favorite. You love them all equally like children, right? But you know you have a favorite.
I know what her answer will be.
Their first one is us, our interview, obviously.
Of course.
That's always my favorite. Now, from now on, it's always.
Forever.
Knew it.
Diane's going to say the one that she's currently working on.
That is my standard answer, is the one that I'm currently working on. I mean, all total, there's over 600 just on the regular feed. But my favorite ones to do are the favorite ones for the listeners as well. And that's the haunted cemeteries, because I love cemeteries so much. And then when you have the ghost stories to go with them, I used to say, it's so funny, cemeteries really aren't that haunted. People think that they are, but who wants to hang out with a bunch of dead bodies? So generally speaking, a cemetery is not haunted. And then I just keep finding more and more of them. Of course, a lot of the stories is ghost lore or lore that goes with some of the decor. And I don't know if there's, you know, you have the kids, this is like your time when you're trying to prove yourselves. And so they always challenge each other to go up and sit on that statue's lap. And if the eyes glow red, whatever. So, you know,
I'm still putting glow sticks in statues in the future.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, you're evil, AP. You're evil.
Duh.
But I also love to do the ones about famous people. And so it's usually their life and afterlife. And I love getting into that because I love old movies and classic Hollywood and that kind of thing. So I love to talk about them as well.
I just listened to your Loretta Lynn one. That was really fun.
Yeah, I love doing that one too. I mean, obviously, we don't know anything about her spirit necessarily because she just passed not too long ago. But boy, does she have some interesting stuff going on.
Yeah, I didn't realize listening to it how, because you had said she passed. I didn't realize she passed that like that soon.
Recently?
Not that long ago. Recently. Yeah. Thank you for the word. Words are hard some days, you guys. Words are tough.
Wording is tough.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It is.
Trying to, you know,
get trying you to make up for calling me a dummy.
How about you, Kelly? Do you have any favorite moments or favorite episodes?
My favorite episodes are generally some of our investigation ones. For example, Squirrel Cage Jail, that was our first one that we hosted an investigation at. Had a lot of really exciting things happen. Diane, just about Peter Pants when the spirit turned on the flashlight at her bequest. She tried to play it all cool and professional, and inside she was just like
It's so funny though, because I am somebody who does not really believe a lot in psychics, so most of the time I'm like, yeah, I think it's a lot of hooey. And so being with someone who has a little bit of abilities, I kind of was like, well, I want to believe her, but I don't know. We had the most incredible experience at this place called the Exchange Hotel. We had a listener who said, actually, it wasn't a listener. I think it was, it was a listener who said, I'm going to go do this investigation at the Exchange Hotel. Do you want to come join me? Well, it's in Virginia. So we're like, yeah, we'll make a drive up there. And this was probably the first time that I was like, Kelly really does have some abilities, because we were in this. It was set up like a hotel to begin with, and it had this kitchen kind of house where the servants would be, and they would cook all the food, and then they would take it into the main hotel later. So we're out in the little room, this little house thing, and Kelly leans over to me, and she never likes to let anybody know that she's getting an impression of something, but she'll whisper it to me. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I get the feeling that there's this little boy ghost that's underneath this table over here, and he keeps poking his head out and like sticking his tongue out. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So we do a little bit of investigating in there, and we're leaving. And the guy who was hosting the thing, he goes, hey, can I have you two come in here and listen to something for me? He goes, I think I picked up an EVP. So we go into this room where he's got all the recordings and stuff, and he plays this recording, and you hear what sounds like a little kid saying, totally the sound that you would think a little kid was sticking their tongue out.
Oh my gosh.
I looked over at Kelly and I was like, holy crap, you really do get a feeling about something.
Wow.
And the cool thing is, not only did they get it on the cameras that they were recording with, but I always have my own recorder with me. I captured it, and another one of our listeners that was with us captured it. And we were in different places in the room, and we all caught the same sound.
Wow.
So that was really cool. Then also attached to this Exchange Hotel was this train depot, and it hadn't been at this location. They had moved it there, but they'd moved it there sometime during the Civil War.
It just wasn't in its original position.
Yeah. So they moved it to a different spot.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening is the hotel, of course, during the Civil War, there were a whole bunch of battles that happened around here. So they turned the hotel into a hospital. And they would just take all of these dead soldiers and stack them up out in this depot.
And some of them weren't dead yet.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, yeah.
So we go out to the depot. And it's funny, even though Kelly picked up on the little ghost and we hear that sound, we go into the main hotel and we really weren't getting hardly anything. There was a little bit of activity with the dowsing rods. And I was like, man, we drove all this way and like nothing is happening. So we go out to the train depot, and I'm already like, God, this was such a waste of time. And we're standing as a group, and I'm
negative Nelly,
very back of the group with my back to, I guess, this corner, which normally I don't like to have my back like open to, especially if you're in a haunted location where you know, I'd like to be against a wall, really. So I can't have anything happen to me. And all of a sudden I felt what was like this, what you would feel like a hand go to the back of your head. And I don't know if you've ever seen somebody touch like a static ball and their hair kind of goes up and everything. That's exactly how I felt, because I'd done that once when I was a kid. And I'm like, wow, I get this feeling like I've got the static electricity all over my head. And then I could feel it like moving down my neck. And I was just so shocked. I'm a quiet person too and don't normally say anything, but I couldn't help but say, I think I'm being touched by a ghost.
Skip the shopping struggle. Get curated outfits picked by stylists who know your taste.
Hey everyone, AP here, and really wanted to talk to you about Wantable, which I love because I hate going to the store to try clothes on. I don't like being in the dressing rooms, the lighting's always bad, the mirrors aren't great. I'd rather try things on in the comfort of my own home. So I use Wantable to treat myself. Go in and select a style edit, have them send that to me, get surprised by the different items that might be in there. Some are outside my comfort zone, but it's funny how when I try those on, they end up being some of my most favorite items. I have a handful of items in my wardrobe right now that I have worn several times in the last couple months, and they're going to get continued use. Highly recommend you check out Wantable.
Get $25 off your first order by going to theactivitycontinues.com/Wantable. Free shipping and returns. Wantable edits your style. If you're a regular listener, you know we love our three spirit drinks.
They are the non-alcoholic spirit drinks that are taking the world by storm.
Three Spirit is a range of three distinct drinks, each with its own unique flavor and effect.
The Livener is a refreshing and invigorating drink that is perfect for starting your day or night.
The Social Elixir is a smooth and sophisticated drink that's perfect for sharing with friends.
And the Nightcap is a calming and relaxing drink that's perfect for winding down before bed.
All three drinks are made with plant-based ingredients and are free from alcohol, gluten, and sugar. They are also vegan and ethically sourced.
So, whether you're looking for a delicious and refreshing drink to enjoy on its own, or a sophisticated non-alcoholic alternative to cocktails, Three Spirit is the perfect choice for you.
Try Three Spirit today and discover the difference. Visit us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code TheActivityContinues for 15% off your entire order.
Cheers!
That one was the best one yet.
And we had one of the ghost hunters when ghost hunters went over to A&E and Grant took over again. Mm. One of them was there with us and he had one of their data boxes that they have on there. So he comes running over with the data box and I'm like, and I start putting my hands out and I was like, oh my God, it's like moving down my arm and I could feel it moving down my arm. So he put the data box there and he's like, yeah, we're definitely getting some reading. Something is happening here.
Pressure changes.
Yeah. Kelly's on the other side of the room. So this is happening on my side of the room. She's over on the other side of the room and she had asked,
Daryl Marston.
Daryl, that's his name. She'd said,
well, I was getting a scent and I didn't really know what gunpowder smelled like. So the only thing that I could liken it to were the little, you guys, we're dating ourselves here, but the little red caps.
I had a feeling that's what you were going to say.
Yeah. Yep. You know, hitting it with the hammer. I didn't have the actual gun, but I'd whack it with a hammer when I was a kid and make it go pop. Yep. I was getting that kind of a scent. Mm. And so I asked Daryl if, you know, I gave him the description. I said, is that what gunpowder smells like? And he said, yep. And then, and, you know, I'm dense sometimes, a lot of times. So I got that scent. And then a little while later, now this is during one of the, I mean, it was during COVID. It was early on in COVID. So we were all wearing masks and everything.
Not touching, you know, not touching things and then putting your fingers in your mouth, that kind of thing.
I mean, I suck on my fingers all the time, but I just wasn't then because I had a mask.
I like to lick doorknobs.
Right. It's true. I mean, COVID was really hard for me because I'm like, I can't lick windows now. What am I going to do?
You can gather so much extra information by doing that. Anyhow. I was getting the taste of copper in my mouth and I had been using my dowsing rod. So I'm thinking,
blood.
There's no well, hello, Miss Science Teacher. But I was just, I was dense to the whole thing. And so again, I shared this with Diane later. Mm. But aside from that period of time, I started getting, now I have tinnitus anyway, but it's not normally to the point where it's making me nauseous. I can't hear anything. I had to walk outside and I ended up coming back in because you were still in there.
Yeah. And at this point, I just see Kelly leaving and I'm like, well, I wonder what's going on. We also had a psychic there with us who had just walked out because whatever was going on was so intense to her that she got nauseous and she literally went outside and threw up.
Yeah.
So kind of like Amy from Dead Files, who sometimes so often. So she had that experience. So I went out later to see if Kelly was okay. And she's just like, I can't go back in there because something is just my ears. When I was in there, it was just my tinnitus was going crazy. Mm. And she didn't tell me about the copper taste in her mouth. And then a little bit later, she told me that, you know, I thought I smelled like gunpowder and stuff. So that was weird. The next morning, we're in the bathroom and we're brushing our teeth and stuff. And she goes, it was so weird last night. You know, when we were in there, I was being so careful and we had our masks on and everything. But she goes, I think maybe when I was doing the dowsing rods and stuff, I must have put my fingers in my mouth or something because I got this like copper taste. And all of a sudden I said, wait a minute. We were in this place where there were all of these dead bodies. You smell gunpowder. Mm-hmm. Your ears are ringing from tinnitus, like a gun went off or a cannon went off. And then you're tasting blood in your mouth. I'm like, you probably were picking up on at least one of them who'd gotten shot and you're all of that combined. And then I was really like, whoa, you really can do some stuff.
That's impressive.
So it was a really cool kind of experience later when we put it all together and stuff. And so now when we go into a location, I'll ask her, do you feel like, you know, pulled to go to a certain way? It's not like she gets impressions like Amy on Dead Files or that kind of thing, but it's just like she gets little
feelings
about stuff, but
not
bigger than mine.
They get verified enough. Yeah. I'm like a rock. So
yeah,
she says that, but she's not.
That is so sensitive. Crazy, Kelly, just hearing your conversation with all of that. Because as you're sitting there, I'm going, okay, the tinnitus, somebody's trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
And then with both of you guys getting that like feeling and everything, it's like, they're like, oh my God, there's people here who can tell our story. We can like, they can hear us. They can do something. And
I felt bad afterwards, though, because I wasn't cluing into it enough. I was kind of watching what everybody else was doing. I wasn't so focus on what was going on with me. I was like paying attention to everybody else.
But it was so funny because then I was like, I was so upset that nothing was happening when we were there. We weren't getting any interactions. And that is the only time I've ever been touched by a spirit. And then Kelly had all that stuff going on. I was like, that was one of our most incredible experiences.
So you were pouting and they're like, fine, we'll show you.
Yeah,
fine.
And I was like, afterward, I was like, oh, that was so cool. But at the time I was like,
I beg to differ. You've encountered the static electric feel of spirits before or after that fact.
Having them touch me, I think that's the only time that I've had something that touched me. I have reached into something and had that feeling.
Ooh, what was that?
We had done a live show in St. Augustine, and as part of it, we decided to attach a ghost hunt at the St. Augustine Lighthouse. So we were hosting that one as well. And this was another one. We really weren't having a lot of interactions. And one of our listeners that's sensitive like Kelly had hung back. And so there was just a couple of us that were there. And she goes, she was standing there and she goes, I really feel like there's like a little kid trying to hold my hand right here or something. And so I had the EMF detector. So I went over there with it and I'm like holding it up and I'm like, it started going off. So I'm like, well, there's definitely something here because it wasn't picking up anything over here. And as I put the EMF into there, all of a sudden I could feel like a, you know, like a static charge. It's the only way I can describe it. It's just like, not like a shock, but just you could feel static.
Tingly.
That tingly feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Like your hand's starting to fall asleep, I guess is a good way to describe it. And at first I was like, well, I wonder if it's because I'm holding my hand up with the EMF detector. But then when she goes, no, the reason why I know there's a child holding my hand is because my hand is very tingly, too. And so I was like, well, that's really cool.
Oh, wow.
I love
it. I'm starting to think about all the times I get just recently. I start to get on my arm here. It feels like kind of like it's burning, like a sunburn feels after like. You realize that you finally have a sunburn and it kind of stings like that. Mm-hmm. I keep getting that just on this part of my arm. And somebody, I think it was when we were talking with the psychic that we visited, Jenny, and she said that I would start to feel some tingling in my feet if there were spirits around me. And because she asked me if I had ever felt that, and I said no. And she's like, well, you will start feeling that. And I'm like, okay, is she just trying to convince me that I will? And then I will, you know, because I'm thinking mm-hmm. that. I don't. My feet are fine. They're the same way they always have been. But I keep getting this sensation on my arm, just on this arm, just right there.
So. Or maybe it's your dad talking to you or like patting you on the arm or touching your arm.
Yeah, you did bring up his one of his pictures from mm-hmm. his funeral.
I did. Yeah, I found it.
Which, Diane, I'm sure he is enjoying listening to this story because he was in radio and TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad's an old broadcast guy. He had a kids' cool. TV show here in Minnesota when I was little.
Neat.
Very and, cool.
And he passed away in 2019. And we think that he might have something to do with some of our technological difficulties mm-hmm. that we've been having. And we've had at least two people now confirm that.
Mm-hmm.
People who are mediums confirm that and say that, yeah, he's here with you. So this is his hat.
Oh, that, nice.
That I just put there because last week I was sitting in my bedroom on the curtain rod. And when I closed the curtain, it flipped off of the curtain rod and landed on a hook on the wall. Like just all by itself, just flipped up and landed there. I mean, I know I bumped it with the curtain, but I just, you know, I assumed it would fall on the floor. It flipped around and landed on the hook. And I was like, okay, all right, Dad. So I brought him down here. And then I found this in my car, which is an old picture of him from when he was.
Oh my goodness.
With a similar hat on.
Yeah, I was going to say. He had a whole pattern that he enjoyed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was his character. He played a detective. Willie Ketchum. Nice. Yeah.
Willie Ketchum. Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah. What was his real name?
Alan Lotsberg.
Alan. Hey, Alan, how are you? We'd love to see you blink the lights behind Amy there to let us know you're here.
Definitely. We always tell him, we're like, hey, you can make yourself known. Like,
I'm pretty sure he usually messes with my camera because I'm going to be the one that tells Amy, like, hey, by the way, have we done anything recently with your dad?
Yeah,
like my hands will be up here and my camera will just start flickering for no reason. Uh-huh. And then it'll just cut.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And she has the same camera that Megan and I have because I bought three of them.
And mine's never done that.
And we all have the same equipment. We have the same mics. We have the same cameras. So it's just kind of weird when something goes weird. And
he was kind of a prankster in life, wasn't he?
Definitely.
So yeah, this is very much up his alley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Alan, you silly goose.
And it is April Fool's Day. This is the best day to do a prank.
Oh, yeah. This was one of his favorite days.
I'm sure it was.
There would be salt in the sugar bowl, so I'd have salt on my cereal. Yeah.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
This one is a terror. An absolute terror.
No.
No. She's so innocent.
That's how she gets you.
A little halo. I down around my ankle.
I used to keep M&Ms in the refrigerator, and I would just go in and grab a handful and throw them in my mouth.
Open bag.
Did she throw Skittles in?
She sure the heck did. I popped it in my mouth, and I was like, what?
I mean,
this?
Skittles are good, but not when you're expecting M&Ms.
No.
Kelly.
When they're mixed together, that's even worse.
No, when they bring over, instead of bringing you a mint after dinner and they bring you one of those orange sticks with the chocolate on it or whatever. Oh, hell no. No, those.
They
no.
First three.
No, those don't
they
go
came
together.
In green and orange and
don't red, mess with the M&M.
Dark chocolate on the stick.
Or the WWs, depending on how you're looking at them.
Oh.
I'm like, what's WWs? Is that a cool candy too?
A new candy I should try?
It's a Minnesota candy, only in Minnesota.
We'll send you some.
Yeah.
Odd that we didn't go with a M or something.
Well, speaking of spiders, I also drew black spiders on the toilet paper roll and wound it back up.
Almost
off the toilet while I was peeing. Yeah. I was like,
that's why you keep the roll with the top over and not under, because under they can hide easier.
There are lines, Kelly, and you crossed one.
I agree.
It wasn't in your house, Megan.
But now we all have the idea.
And I feel for Diane. I feel for you, Diane.
I've had like those little Cadbury eggs, you know, the itty bitty mm-hmm. little ones. Those she'd wrap eggs. She'd wrap grapes.
Oh,
so then I would open it up thinking I'm going to get a little Cadbury eggs. Egg.
Okay. Kelly's kind of amazing, though.
Has she done the caramel onion?
No.
Oh.
I would never.
Don't give her
I would ideas. Never. I did make potato and black bean chocolate chip cookies for you.
She sure did.
Wow. Took a little bit of effort to make them look real.
You go oh all God. Out.
Yeah, you do.
I do love anything it. This year.
Uh-oh.
She's, yeah,
she's means
feeling
it's coming.
Neglected.
At least as far as I know. It's not
coming.
Midnight yet.
Well, I mean, that is way past your bedtime, so I think you're safe.
It is.
I think I am, because she'll probably pass out in about.
She hasn't gotten in bed yet.
Maybe she short-sheeted your bed.
Yep.
Yeah. Although that would affect her too. So how
no,
far is she willing?
No, you can short-sheet half a side.
Oh, okay.
That's well. True. You probably could.
I don't know how to I've short-sheet at all. So I have nothing.
AP's like, I've done it.
Yeah. AP, yeah.
When I was younger, I made my parents' bed and I short-sheeted my dad's side.
I don't know how to do that. One
Honey,
of the
you
many...
just fold. You just fold the sheet in half.
Okay. You say that like I'm like, I can't. I don't know. Where do you tuck it?
Into the mattress.
But where does it go?
On top of the bed.
Sorry.
Megan's having a hard time visualizing.
I'm just jumping right in there.
So like you put the flat sheet down
uh-huh.
and you just fold up part of it and then you tuck it in like you would tuck the rest of your sheet in. So it's short sheeted because it's half the bed.
So it doesn't go all the way up to the top?
No, it goes all the way up to the top. It doesn't go all the way to the bottom.
Their feet are sticking out.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I
so
got
when they,
it.
When they go in, their feet hit and they're like, why yes. can't I go further into the bed?
There we go. It took me a while, you guys, but I got there.
We saw the light bulb.
I took the scenic route. Okay. I didn't go direct. All right. I had a couple of layovers. It's fine. I'm
scenic
smart in other
route
ways.
Is more interesting.
It is.
Thank you, Kelly. I feel like we're really connecting.
We're bonding. We're growing. We're growing.
As
we're growing.
Friends,
yeah. We're learning. Yeah.
We're sharing. We're showing. We're just all bonding. Becoming better people.
Oh my gosh. We're going to start singing Kumbaya.
I do have one final question for Diane and Kelly.
Okay.
And this has to do because I know that you guys have some dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously we already know that I've got a few around here. But I was wondering if you have any of your favorite dog stories. And it could be your like you have your ghosty dog story. Like I have one of a dog, Gordon Setter. He passed away a few years ago. He loved Butterfingers and butter. And I came home one day and he got out of his kennel. He had to be crated because he was so naughty. And he came running past me like a flash, running down the stairs. And I was like, uh-oh, Boone, what did you do? And he turned and looked at me like, I don't know. I go upstairs and there was wrappers, a trail of wrappers of Butterfingers. My dad was a teacher and he would tell his students after Halloween how much he loved Butterfingers. So they would bring him Butterfingers. So there was just wrappers galore, just a trail of wrappers. He was fine.
Oh, boy.
Oh yeah. But he was naughty.
Well, of course, I did have my first experience was with somebody's dog or mm-hmm. some kind of dog. I don't know. Wasn't mine necessarily. And then when you guys joined us on our podcast, I told you about hearing the dog at Waverly Hills mm-hmm. Sanatorium that this veteran had kind of kept track of the place. He was homeless, and I think the owners let him stay there because he made sure that the riffraff would stay out. Well, some riffraff got in, and they were fairly violent, and they ended mm-hmm. up confronting this gentleman and throwing him down the elevator shaft there, and he had his dog with him, and they did the same thing with the dog, and of course, they both passed away.
No, Mia.
And the tour guide who was taking us through was telling us this story right in front of the elevator, and as she's telling the story, I hear what sounds like a dog whining or whimpering, which also kind of sounds like old door hinges going.
Mm-hmm.
And so at first I thought, well, maybe it's just door hinges for the door at the end of the hallway, which would still be kind of creepy if the door's moving and stuff. And so I didn't think anything at first. Well, then I heard the whimpering and whining again. So I'm like, no, that's definitely a dog. And it's interesting that she's telling us the story about this dog. And then she stopped talking and went, is anybody else hearing a dog whimpering or whining? And everybody went, there was about 40 of us standing there, and everybody went, yeah, I hear it. And then right after, everybody's like, yeah, I hear it. We heard it for a third time. Hmm. And so I just thought it was a really, really cool experience.
Yeah. Poor puppy.
We've got one trying to climb under our studio desk.
They're
right
more than
now.
Welcome to make a guest appearance.
What kind of dogs do you have?
About Savvy?
With Savvy, she was a Hungarian Vizsla. She was a registered therapy dog that I used to bring. Careful.
Oh, hello, sweet girl.
Mimi's.
Oh, she's so pretty.
Her name would be Radar.
Oh, Radar.
Cute.
I love it.
But
she's got like Benji like ears.
Her name of Mia. She's actually a corgi and Karen Terrier mix.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Very short, low to the ground, very built. I mean, she is.
Oh my God,
like,
that's how I describe myself. Short, low to the ground, and built.
Flex, Megan, flex. So with Savvy, she passed in 2020, I think?
Yes.
So it was, I don't know, maybe a month later. Hungarian Vizslas have, you know, pretty large ears. They're a sporting breed. And she used to shake her head really hard. And, you know, her ears would whap, 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 whap on either side of her head. So I did hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing. I mean, you know, I'm just open-minded skeptic all the time. So mm-hmm. I'm not 100% certain. But, yeah, I feel like I heard
it. I had to look up what they look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And they are so cute.
They're beautiful dogs.
Yes.
And she would wear her little where I used to volunteer with her. It was right by Disneyland. It was Children's Hospital of Orange County. Mm-hmm. And so she would have her little Minnie Mouse tutu, and she would wear
that's
regular
fresh.
Ears,
mm-hmm.
regular ears that I would retrofit, you know, regular Disneyland ears that I would purchase.
Oh, funny.
And retrofit so they would stay on her. And mm-hmm. she would go trotting around, doing her rounds and everything.
That's the cutest thing I've heard today. That is simply adorable.
So she was a lot of fun.
If you're having a bad day, listeners, just picture a dog in Mickey Mouse ears and a tutu. And I guarantee you, you'll be in a better mood.
Absolutely.
Dogs are the absolute best. So thank you for sharing those stories, because it's always fun to talk about them.
We're very much
and you
animal
always
people.
Want them to come back. We hear a lot of stories from our listeners about them having interactions with their dogs. A lot of it is that hearing the collar moving.
Yeah.
Mine have been mostly seeing them out of the corners of my eyes. I remember, I don't think I told you guys this story, but when it was a few years ago, it was after we lost Boone. So at that time, we had only 3 dogs in the house. And I was coming down the stairs. No, we had 4 because we had Kiri. So I was coming down the stairs and I see 4 dogs coming from my right, and I'm walking over towards the bathroom, and Briggs, my dog, my heart and soul at the time, came out of my bedroom, and I turn around and I was like, 1, 2, 3. I saw 4 black dogs coming from my right side, and then 1 came from my bedroom, and Gordon Setters are black and tan. So he had a very dark coat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very well aware that he was here at that point in time, probably looking for a handout of some sort.
Oh, I think you asked us this one too, and we wanted to hear your answer. If you could do an investigation anywhere, where would you go?
Castle. Somewhere over in Europe, a castle. I don't care if it's Germany, Scotland, Ireland, any old castle, because we just don't have anything like that over here. We can get pretty darn close. And obviously, we're near St. Augustine, which is the oldest city here in America. A lot of really cool stuff there with some older spirits. But it's just, you know, here in America, we don't have anything like they have over there. So
no,
I would love to do that. I just don't like the whole having to fly for forever to get there. So I don't know that it will ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's fine. You just take a sleeping pill and bada bing, bada boom, you're there.
Yeah.
I can't even get her to take Benadryl. when you can't sleep. How about a half a Benadryl? Snap it in half.
I already am not good about flying, and now with all these Boeing stories and stuff, I'm like, you know, I really, if I can't drive,
there's some justification for that these days.
Yeah, for sure. Just don't sit by the exit door.
No, and that's where we usually like to sit because they give you extra leg room. Yeah. I'm like, I could take the door off if we need to, no problem.
So I lived in the Middle East for 2.5 years, and I do not like flying. Like, I don't like it. I just don't. And so I was sitting there, and this was back when I was really upset at flying. And so I was holding onto the armrest, and I was rocking and crying. And this guy leaned over, and he goes, "Are you on drugs?"
I said, like, no, but I wish. Would be doing this.
I know. I said, no, I'm really scared. And he goes, "Oh, okay. I thought you were on drugs." And I'm like, no.
Thanks for comforting me, Apple.
Yeah, thanks.
He was just looking for his fix.
Yeah, he was. He was like,
maybe. I want whatever she has.
Yeah. Maybe. Little Harry met Sally.
Do you have a place you want to investigate?
No, I was actually, I said castle too.
Well, same exact.
I don't listen together. To you. I'm married to you. That's
It's true.
I feel that.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a blast.
It has been a blast.
Time. We've enjoyed ourselves.
Thank you for asking us.
Yes. Thank you so much. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us again, or vice versa.
Whatever.
Yeah. We knew what you meant, Kelly. We're best friends now. I know. Between the lines.
I don't think you guys should be left alone together. You can come up with too many things.
Oh, we'd get in so much trouble.
It's true. Although I would not help her perform any pranks on you, Diane.
Yeah, I'm sure not.
Mm-hmm. Are Kelly, you I got you.
Crossed?
Sure.
All no. Right. That's an AP. Yes.
Okay.
And Diane, I'll help you too.
Kelly's not allowed to be around any of you.
Amy might be safe.
Good one. Soy sauce in a soda bottle.
Oh.
Ooh.
You're so that's mean.
Brutal. I didn't do that to her. I did it to my son.
Oh, that's awesome.
Drinking kids is totally fine.
He deserved it.
Yeah.
He probably did.
He was being a little punk that day.
A day ending in Y.
Yeah. There you go. No, actually, he's a good kid, but that's he got good. Me back. He took he had a knife collection.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't go there. Nope. He took it and went through the toilet paper roll and then stuck it back on the dowel, but like sideways, you know, put it on.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, thank you so much, you two. We really, really appreciated it. I know it's way past your bedtime, so we appreciate it even more.
Thank you. We appreciate
Kelly
it.
Kelly only fell asleep twice, so
yeah, I only had to elbow her a few times.
Yeah. Nice.
Or other dogs whining outside now. Never a dull moment.
No,
never.
I've got a snorer too. I kept going, what is that I'm hearing? What is it? Snoring.
It makes you wonder, are we really that unexciting on the show when you hear the dog snoring?
Well, shoot.
You know. But you know that they mostly dream of us.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of times when they're having like those where they're barking or whimpering or something, they've done some studies showing that there's some like more traits of like trying to protect you and you know all of that sort of stuff. So they dream about us a lot too. Well, hey there, little peanut.
Who's that? So this is the other little munchkin.
Oh my goodness. My so little.
And she likes to launch out of your arms. Uh-huh. That's the one named Trouble.
That's my heart's name.
Yeah.
If she wasn't cute, she'd be dead. But
she's cute. Yeah.
I say that about Wesley, too.
I love shaggy dogs. So cute.
Yeah, I've got a thing for whiskery faces. They're good. Get ready to tussle here.
I would grab my Vivi for you, but by the time I got up and got over there, she would be out the door because she doesn't like to be picked up. But she's a Yorkie.
I just saw the two of them behind you go.
Now they're on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. They do enjoy playing with each other.
Yeah. Good. I love it.
Good. Okay. Well, we'll let you go. Thank you so much again.
Our pleasure. You. Thanks for having us.
Have a good night.
Until next time.
Until next
Sounds
time.
Good. You guys have
to do it again.
Yes, of course.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right.
Take care,
bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. Next time, we will be talking to Dead Files clients, Michelle and Krista, from the episode Deadly Force, which on Max anyway is season 11, episode 13. And you'll remember this story from just a few weeks ago when we crapped.
Cupboard.
What you do in your please free keep time,
that.
Amy.
Please keep this all in.
From just a few weeks ago when we recapped it in our episode number 106, Ghost Gone Wild, The Everglades. And this is going to be fun. This is the one where Krista was like the client. They said she was actually the daughter. And then her mom and dad and her brother all lived there. And her brother lived in the
RV.
RV on the property. And
he didn't interview.
He was on at the very end and everything was cleared up and nice at the very end. So
that was a good one.
Yeah. So I'm excited to hear how they got everything cleared. I know, you know, obviously what they said on the show, we know a little bit of how it happened, but both Michelle and Krista, mom and daughter, both have abilities. So it'll be fun to talk to them about their abilities and what they're doing with them and that kind of thing. It'll be fun. So join us next time for that.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Yep.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please reach out if you have a spooky story you'd like us to share on the show. We can be reached at theactivitycontinues@gmail.com or through our website or any of our socials. Links are all in the description of the show. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues. The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network. We are also proud members of the Boo Pod Network of super cool podcasts.
Nailed it.